Save big on everything for your next outdoor project when you shop at Menards. Greenworks 40-volt cordless tools have everything you need to keep your yard looking great. The Greenworks cordless trimmer and edger is lightweight, starts instantly, and comes with a 40-volt battery and charger. Pick one up today, on sale, now through June 1st. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards. Save big on everything for your next outdoor project when you shop at Menards. Greenworks 40-volt cordless tools have everything you need to keep your yard looking great. The Greenworks cordless trimmer and edger is lightweight, starts instantly, and comes with a 40-volt battery and charger. Pick one up today, on sale, now through June 1st. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
I don't see one.
Okay. Do you know if those photos were taken by the Canton Police Department?
Yes.
Sister.
Do you know when exactly those photos were taken?
I don't, except I have them dated as February 3rd. But I think that may just be the baseball hat photos.
Okay, can you continue?
Then we have photos of a broken glass. Surrounded by red marks in the snow.
Continue, please.
This, by the way, is the flagpole.
And that's slide number, please, Doctor?
Yes, ma'am, 129.
Thank you.
Slide 130.
Can you enlarge that and explain to us what that is?
Sure. So at the bottom, it indicates where it's from. So this was from a presentation I gave looking at pedestrian injury biomechanics back in 2005. And what it's showing is where various, or what are the most common injuries in pedestrian impacts. So what it shows is head injuries are the most common injury in pedestrian impacts. So on the right-hand side, it's all injuries. You can see of all the individual study, the highest prevalence or highest or most common injury was head injuries. And those that sustained severe life-threatening injuries, again, the highest was also head injuries. So head injuries are very commonly associated with pedestrian impacts. This is anatomical drawings just to help you understand the anatomy. The middle section here is from Mr. O'Keefe's autopsy report. The lower right diagram, the green line represents the fracture lines, predominantly here, at least in the base of the skull. So in the biomechanical and forensics, and forensics just means the legal related scientific industry, there's something called hat brim line or hat line analysis. And what it is it's looking at where the hat line, you can imagine, is where the brim of a hat would be. And what it is, it's literature that's looking at where head injuries from falls commonly occur.
Your Honor, I move to strike that.
I'm going to strike.
Strike. Remove from the screen.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So that was slide 131.
No, that was 132. I moved it because you said to take it off the screen.
Your Honor, one more request is to not take that into consideration.
So jurors, when I strike something, that means don't pay any attention to it.
Thank you, Honor.
Continue, Dr. Welcher.
Your Honor, I need to go past that slide.
Okay, go ahead, go past it.
This is the next slide.
Okay, if you can continue.
Sure. So I provided peer-reviewed scientific literature that looked at a metric where they were publishing research trying to delineate falls versus blows or assaults. And so this metric is in that scientific literature. They looked at a total of 400 different events, 235 falls, 165 assaults. And so you can see where it says mandible. So mandible is your lower jaw.
Can you enlarge that a little bit, please?
Your Honor, pardon the interruption. I'm moving to strike.
Yeah, let's take that slide down, and I'm going to see you inside. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Lessie, Mr. Brennan is going to do this in open court. Just talk to Dr. Welcher for a minute. Okay,
yes.
Is there any objection?
I have no objection. Are we on the transcript or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I made a mistake.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you. And they're going to be removed.
No talking, court's still in session.
And we're going to remove the heading on each one of the slides. I don't want to repeat what it says, but on each one of them, we're going to put it.
Thank you. Anything else?
Okay, so let's see this. Okay, and I'm going to now use this to see if there's anything else in the report to be waiting for.
So it starts on page 124. Is that right, Mr. Brennan and Mr. Lessie?
I don't have the whole one in front of me.
You have in front of me.
Dr. Welcher, is that where it starts?
That appears to be, Your Honor, yes. 124?
No. It's starting at 123. I have to start.
I actually have 122 is already redacted, but I have it at 123 as well.
Yeah. All right, I don't have it on 123.
123 was a blank slide.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I have 123 is a blank slide.
Okay. So 124.
From triple M, you do not have that.
For 124.
Thank you.
Yeah.
124 through 138, is that accurate, counsel? Chrissy, do you need a break? Do you need 5 minutes?
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So if you could do that for us.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Dr. Welcher.
I'm doing it right now.
We can bring the jurors back.
Your Honor, if we could just, now I just want to look at the rest.
Okay.
For 2 minutes, and then
sure.
Your Honor asks us to do that.
Sure.
May I confer with Mr. Brennan on 124?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Brennan, may I approach you? Thank you.
Not on the record, Chris.
Your Honor, Mr. Brennan, give me permission to confer with Dr. Welcher about...
Sure, and it won't be on the record, right?
Yes.
Do you want it on the record?
Do we need it on the record?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Dr. Welcher,
yes, sir.
Please turn to slide 137.
Okay.
Thank you for that opportunity.
Your Honor, you struck one slide. I'm sorry.
I didn't strike a slide.
Oh.
we struck it subject to going back once the heading's gone, right?
Correct. There may be, depending upon what's in the video, there may be more. That's why we're
right, but the ones... All right, so...
We so can, I can go back and show them.
Yes.
I don't want to offend the court.
Okay. So are we starting on slide 132?
132, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
May I inquire if Dr. Welch's PowerPoint is ready on the screen?
It looks like it's up. Is it ready, Dr. Welch?
You got me scared when you asked me that. I need to double check. Yes, I believe I redacted everything and we are on slide 132. Thank you. And by the way,
it appears that way to me, Mr. Lessie, from here.
The battery died on this.
Okay, thank you.
Whoever in charge of. I mean, I brought my own, fortunately, but.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, no, I can't find mine.
Oh, Ms. Gilman has one.
Oh, backup.
All right. Troy, is that ours?
Equally bad. These laser pointers do not work on those monitors.
Yeah, we've had that too.
Absolutely.
Do you need like a... Please be seated. Court is in session.
Dr. Welch, if you could return to slide 132. Actually, 133, Dr. Welch.
Is that me or?
One thirty-three, please. The next one after that.
So we did skip over 132.
We skipped over that one as well. Keep going. There we go. If you can enlarge that just a little bit for us.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned that there were studies that talked about guiding the difference between potential injuries.
Correct.
Can you explain that?
Sure. So I gave three papers and someone's dissertation on this issue. They are creating a analysis methodology to differentiate whether the nature and pattern of injuries are more consistent with a fall or more consistent with an assault, or are they calling it blows?
Okay, could you walk us through what this chart means?
Sure. So this is their flow chart in terms of their assessment. So it starts at the very top. You can see they analyze a total of 400 events, 235 falls, 165 blows or assaults. So what you do is you ask yourself on the first set of arrows, you look at the mandible, the jaw. And MRS, as you can see at the bottom down here, refers to a simple fracture or multiple fractures. A is no fracture. Mr. O'Keefe has no mandible fracture. So that means we go down this row. It then looks at all facial fractures. So these are the bones that constitute the face. So if you have a facial fracture, you go to your left. If you have no facial fracture, you go to the right. So if you have some event, no mandible fracture, no facial fracture, what they've indicated, that is predominantly associated with falls and not assaults.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In addition, did you do any further study on the force of a person falling back and landing on their head?
Oops, I did.
Could you
What I did was I did what are called drop tests. I took an anthropomorphic test device, ATD, which is just a fancy name for a crash test dummy, and dropped it backwards onto a hard surface to look at what happens if you were to, say, fall backwards and hit your head onto a hard surface. So on this particular photograph of Mr. O'Keefe in the upper left, there's noted to be abrasions above the fracture line in the area. You can't see that at all. You can see. Noted to be abrasions right here. Your Honor, I brought a hat. That was the one I used in my testing. May I put it on and demonstrate something?
Mr. Lessie?
Yeah. If you would like a sidebar, or I can.
Are you objecting?
I am objecting.
That's sustained. No, you can't put it on.
Okay. So I will show you the dummy test I did. Watch when the shoulders hit the ground, then the head hits the ground. It creates kind of an arc path that will drag and slide objects up the head. So if you have something such as a baseball hat, it'll cause it to drag across the scalp, dragging it up to a similar location to where these abrasions are. So here's the testing. Again, this is a crash test dummies you see on television. This is myself. Me giving me similar instructions, telling them what we're gonna do. I said, and watch. Shoulders come in, then the head contacts the ground. What you see is if you fall backwards and land on a very hard surface or hard surface, you'll get extremely high loads on the head. If you compare that to data in the science...
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Could that please explain what the chart is before you explain?
Oh, sure. This chart up here?
Nope, the next page.
Right.
You can enlarge and tell us what it is before you get into the details.
Absolutely. So this is actually kind of a famous study that was published, one of the first studies looking at head fracture or skull fracture tolerances. So what you see, the portion at the back of your skull is called the occiput bone. So that bone, if you put your hand on the back of your head, is your occiput. So we're looking at occiput impacts. And what you can see is that when they took cadaver skulls and drop them from as low as 40 inches onto a hard surface, they were getting linear fractures. And you can see even at 40 inches, it was called a stellate fracture. Stellate means star-like. You get a fracture that goes out like a star. So even at a 40-inch drop height, you have sufficient force when landing on a hard surface to cause skull fractures. and a level three type skull fracture. So Mr. O'Keefe, again, is 73 inches tall. His occiput is about 4.6 inches down from the top of his skull. That means it would fall a total of about 73 minus 5 would be 68. So just under 6 feet. So 72, 4 inches under, so 5'8" is the fall height. What is data showing that even at a fall height as low as 40 inches onto a hard surface, you can get fairly severe skull fractures.
Thank you. Dr. Welcher, regarding your third part of your analysis, did you come to a conclusion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether or not the defendant's Lexus collided with Mr. John O'Keefe on the evening of January 29, 2022, around 12:32 a.m.?
Yes.
Before you give me your opinion, I'd like you to share with the jury what that opinion is based on.
Sure. So it's based on the 130 slides you've seen. It's based on my personal inspection of the Lexus, the correlation of the text stream data with the infotainment data, as well as Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone data. It's looking at, I guess, where the taillight wasn't broken. It's looking at the physical evidence at the scene in terms of taillight fragments, glass fragments, red color in the snow. We have the cell phone data, the location and position of the arm lacerations, the air temperature at the time indicative of sufficient to freeze, the location of the fracture on the back of his head relative to the scientific literature, my testing of forces available falling onto a hard surface, published science on the fracture forces associated with falls. I'm sorry, I'm reading from my report. I'm reading from my report.
Can you answer without reading from your report?
Probably. It's more complete if I read my report.
Any objection, Mr. Lessing?
I do on this question, Your Honor, reading from a report for this question. So I'm going to reference some data.
So, okay. And not to read, don't read from your report.
Okay, nope.
Okay, Dr. Welcher, let me ask you again. Based on your analysis, data available, reviews, study, based on the fact that you are an accident reconstructionist and a biomedical engineer, have you reached an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether the defendant's Lexus struck Mr. John O'Keefe on January 29, 2022, around 12:32 a.m.?
Yes.
And could you share the basis of your opinion before I ask you your ultimate opinion?
Sure. So again, you've seen my slide presentation. I've inspected the Lexus. I've looked at where it wasn't damaged. I've inspected the taillight. I got an exemplar Lexus. I ran lower speed contacts to verify that the injury pattern and location on the arm is consistent with the height and orientation of the taillight. I have looked at fracture tolerance data for falling backwards onto hard surfaces. I've looked at the metrics of where his injuries were and what injuries he didn't sustain. I've looked at the cell phone data, and then I've looked at Ms. Reed's interviews as well.
Based on all the evidence you considered, could you share with the jury what your opinion is to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty about whether the defendant's Lexus struck Mr. O'Keefe on January 29, 2022, around 12:32 a.m.?
Objection, Your Honor.
Going to another.
I can answer?
Yes. Based on the totality of the evidence, DNA, everything I've talked about, that is consistent with that happening, with a reasonable degree of scientific certainty, that is what happened.
Objection, move to strike, Your Honor.
So I'm going to strike that. I want to see counsel's side up just...
Dr. Welcher, we have to be back tomorrow anyway. Jurors, I don't want to steal this
anymore.
Okay, so those same cautions, please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know, and please be very careful with your social media use. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're starting an hour late tomorrow. Is that what this is?
Yes, ma'am.
So, we'll start at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And I forgot about this. So, we'll see you at 10 o'clock. The court officers will tell you about your specific directions.
Do I need to pack all this up? It's okay. I mean, I came in early this morning and set up.
You're welcome. I mean, we don't really
can
walk
we
it.
Yeah, I'll be back.
All right.
Should Dr. Welcher leave?
Dr. Welcher can step down. I know he has to come back and have his equipment.
So just leave everything here.
And then you'll come back in 5 minutes.
Roger.
All right.
Yes,
please. All right, so Mr. Alessi, I will hear you as to your objection.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you like me to go to the podium or stand?
Right there is fine, and let's try and wrap this all up by four because I've already heard you at sidebar.
We'll do so, Your Honor.
That means both of you I'll hear from within the next 5 minutes. Go ahead, Mr. Alessi.
Thank you, Your Honor. The point number one is the question of whether, based upon a reasonable degree of scientific guarantee or certainty, he has an opinion whether a collision occurred. I'm going to give a dramatic an accurate example that happens in courts all the time, the equivalent. So, by analogy, if the issue is whether or not a defendant has stabbed an individual and caused a certain event, that is the ultimate question for the jury. That question is never permissible in a trial. By analogy, this is the exact analogous situation. The question of whether there was a collision is the ultimate question for the jury. That is why we are having this trial. The defense strongly asserts there was no collision, and there is substantial evidence to that. We are going to cross-examine Dr. Welcher. We are going to put in our own strong case to demonstrate no collision occurred. That's no surprise. It was in our opening statement. This witness cannot, by precedent for years, opine on the ultimate question that is going to the jury. I accept, subject to evidentiary issues, the two questions that a biomechanist always answers in these situations. Is the damage to the vehicle consistent with a pedestrian hitting the vehicle? And are the injuries to the individual consistent with being hit by a motor vehicle? Those are the questions that are permissible, not the collision question. It is resoundingly improper in this trial, in any trial where that is the ultimate conclusion for the jury. Yes, an expert can offer opinions.
but every expert is bounded by the extent of their opinion, and that opinion on whether there was a collision would invade the province of the jury and the whole purpose why we are here, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Brennan.
So what Mr. Lisi is arguing is that in their opening statement, they repeatedly invaded the province of the jury because they must have asserted vehemently over and over again there was no collision, over and over and over again. And he just told you that when his expert takes the stand, they'll have abundant evidence that there was no collision. This case is about the collision, but that is not the ultimate issue. The ultimate issue is manslaughter or mens rea for second degree murder, not collision. They don't get to define the prosecution's case. They do not get to define or limit the prosecution's opinions. They have no case law. They have no study. They have no jurisdiction or jurisprudence to say what we are limited to. He's entitled to an opinion. His opinion is not limited to whether or not the defendant struck Mr. O'Keefe. That evidence is obvious. It's not whether or not there's damage to the car or Lexus. That evidence is obvious. He also is an enormous part of a biomedical engineer and an accident reconstructionist. He studied the text stream data. They didn't, he did. And he's entitled to give an opinion. The text stream data, based on fact and science and data, tells us when, if you put it together with other evidence, and where, when you contribute it with other evidence, this collision actually occurred. We don't have to play peekaboo and close our eyes to the reality of the fact that the evidence supports the conclusion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty that the defendant struck Mr. O'Keefe with her Lexus in front of Fairview Road. I am not interjecting the defendant. I always refer to her car, so it is sanitized, her Lexus. I've been careful about that. I don't have to, but I'm very careful about it. He is relying on the text stream data, the physical evidence, his independent studies. He is allowed to offer an opinion about whether the injuries are consistent with the damage to the car, whether the damage to the car is consistent with the injury to Mr. O'Keefe, and he's also allowed to answer, in his opinion, the issue of a collision. Putting aside the fact that that was emphasized and repeated in the opening statement, and it's going to happen again when other people testify. It's not our fault that ARCA didn't testify or look into the text stream data or they don't have an expert for it. It doesn't belittle or limit that evidence. We expect to ask Dr. Welcher, does he have an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether the defendant's Lexus collided with Mr. O'Keefe on January 29, 2022, around 12:32 a.m. That is one of the opinions we're going to ask him. Nothing to do with the ultimate opinion of guilt or innocence or whether it's manslaughter or there's mens rea for second-degree murder.
And what was your second? You said that's one of the opinions you're going to ask him. What else are you looking at?
I will also ask him about the consistent with, whether the injuries are consistent with.
With what?
I'm going to ask him after this part about the difference between a clip or a side swipe as opposed to a full-on injury, pedestrian collision from a front or back of a bumper, and there are further slides to emphasize that point. And so there'll be an opinion regarding that as well.
And you,
consistency with a side swipe or a clip.
Okay, so this is not the end of Dr. Welch's testimony. He's just moving on to another area.
It's close, but it's not the end.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Your Honor, here's a case. Attorney Brennan said, go to case law. Here it is. Commonwealth v. Coleman, 366 Mass. 705. And it stands for the proposition exactly that I articulated. I won't repeat it. Secondly, Your Honor, we practice what we preach. I have the ARCA report right in front of me, and I have the report of...
Is that a new one, or is that a...
This is the new one.
Okay.
It's also, the old one is the same. So I can, either one is the same. They do not, Mr. Brennan incorrectly said what our experts are going to do. I don't know why he did that, because he has these in writing. Neither Mr. Dr. Wolf or Dr. Rentschler talk about a collision, a conclusion, it's consistency. So those two questions I said at sidebar. And I, for reference, Your Honor, for the most recent, it's page 15. There is no...
I don't have that report, so I'd like a copy of that report.
Your Honor, a copy, and I also, Your Honor, refer Your Honor to ARCA's existing report, which I'm going to do from memory. I think it's February of 2020. 24 that was done for the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI, where they basically said and gave opinions on those two items I spoke to you at sidebar. So Attorney Brennan is incorrect when he says what our experts are going to say or not. We've already committed in writing to what they're going to say. We're consistent. We practice what we preach.
All right. So we will discuss this tomorrow before we start. I'll tell you my ruling tomorrow before we start. I need to go back and see what exactly came in to evidence today. All right. So I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you. All right.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.